everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom with a big smile on his face. That's the way it should be on a Friday afternoon. Tom's engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show on this, the final Friday of September. It is the 29th of September 2017. Hope you had a good week. By the way, you may be listening to this program at 7 o'clock Saturday morning. The program re-airs here on KVOI. We re-air our Friday edition at Saturday morning at 7. Friday, we like to do a big shout-out to the media partners. These are people who support our program through prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show logo and a quick link over from their home pages in TucsonSentinel.com, the editor-publisher of that fine online organization. Dylan Smith is with me in studio today. Dylan, thank you, as usual, for your support.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Over the years. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, thank you very much. TucsonLifestyle.com, we thank them. The Tucson Media Group has joined us now, and that group includes the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, The Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Our other media partners, Southern Arizona News Examiner and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, the Chief of Police, Tucson, Arizona. Christopher Magnus is with us. Chief Magnus, how are you?
I'm great. Great to be with you.
It's good to see you again. Let's begin with, I keep hearing all this stuff about staffing levels, that we've got a real crisis going on. Has really anything dramatically changed?
Well, I think it's tough because when you're so close to the margins, you know, when numbers are as low as they've been, frankly, for a pretty long time now, I think there's a high frustration, and it doesn't take a lot of folks leaving to go to another agency, walking out the door with all that training that we've invested in them. I think when that happens, even modest numbers are a source of a lot of frustration. But, you know, our agency, we've looked back historically, we lose, and this is actually better than many departments our size, but we lose about 6 officers a month to retirements, resignations, terminations, a whole host of reasons why people leave a department, sometimes injury, illness, et cetera. We've seen out of that group, it's usually about 15% of that group that attrits out of the agency leaves to go to other agencies. And frankly, that's too many. It's frustrating to our rank and file all the way up through the chain of command when people that have worked with us end up taking their skills and experience and going to another police agency somewhere else, maybe in the region or maybe somewhere across the state, even across the country. And so we'd like to do as much as we can to stem that tide.
So obviously there's an investment, and these officers, they come out of the academy. Is there something in their contract that says you must give us 2-3 years, or can they leave really whenever they want?
Well, yes, they can leave whenever they want, and that's pretty typical for most police departments. It's really hard to enforce that type of contract. And then, as I said, some of the folks that are leaving are leaving because, you know, it's time to retire, because they want to go into a different line of work, because of injury. It's a hard job, and I get why a lot of our rank and file are frustrated by what they see, because, you know, the consequence of this is that the call load is certainly significant in a city our size. People are going from call to call to call. We're asking and really pretty much insisting that they provide quality work at the calls they go to. But there's then a real push-pull when you look on the board and you see, you know, calls stacked up waiting for you. You want to spend time with the victim of that burglary or the assault or whatever it might be, but you know you have another 10, 12 calls holding, and so that's very difficult.
Dylan Smith.
And doesn't that make it hard to provide a good policing when you have officers who aren't as experienced? I mean, we're not attracting a whole lot of experienced officers with the pay rates that we have.
Right.
You're training new folks and trying to get them up to speed.
No, that's right.
And with that sort of call load where they might not have the, you know, ability to deal with people in, you know, a completely effective manner.
So it is challenging. I think there is some good news, though, and there are a couple of things that I'm very excited about. One of them is, first of all, our training, we're providing, I think, some of the best training that police officers can get anywhere in the country right now in our agency. We're doing a lot of training around really what are considered policing best practices when it comes to engaging with the public, use of force, investigative skills. Training is a really high priority, and I think that pays real dividends in terms of how officers interact with the public, even when they don't have as much experience. The other thing that we're really working on is changing how we manage calls for service. And this is an ongoing work in progress because, you know, one of the great things about Tucson is also one of the things that is difficult about policing here. The great thing is that this has that small town feel, and people have been used to over the years the idea that you call the police for pretty much anything yeah. and a cop's going to show up at your house, even mm-hmm. though we got 250 square miles and a pretty small number of cops for the size of our city.
They expect to see a cop,
yes. right? And so we are already gradually working to change how we deal with some of these calls for service, because there are a fair number of things that really, it's not so much that somebody wants to necessarily wait an hour to have an officer come to their house so they can ask them a question or work through a problem. They would be willing, in fact, in many cases, they'd actually prefer to do that over the phone if they knew they were talking mm-hmm. to somebody who really understood how to help them with their problem and how to resolve a situation. So we're looking at ways that we can resolve more things over the phone. There are some cases where people just, there's no suspect, really the amount of the loss is minimal. There's no evidence. People just want a complaint number for their insurance company, and we want to document
a stolen bike vandalism or
precisely. And so those are things where can we use online as a better way for people to get that sort of service? Are there other ways where we can cut down on return calls to some of the same businesses? Frankly, we have some businesses in our community, and it's not a large number of them, but who have set up a certain business model that literally invites theft. And then they call the police to report the theft. Well, that's got to change, because it's not the job of the rest of the business community or the citizens of the city to subsidize those kinds of business models. So all of these are things that we're working on.
Yeah.
I was just going to say an example of that.
Well, without naming
the types of names.
Type of
I think an example of this, you know, we've seen historically examples of this include certain kinds of convenience stores where, for example, when you stack the beer right at the front door and then you're shocked that it walks out of the store, you know, or the way that this has happened, even in terms of sometimes how alarms are dealt with in certain jurisdictions or in the past. There are a lot of different types of calls that we want to be a good partner, and we want to provide the best service. But we also know we have limited resources, and so we have to be smart about how we do it. We have to put a much bigger focus on prevention, because prevention we know works better than anything else. I mean, it really does, especially for property crimes. And this is something we got to get a handle on, because property crime in any city is one of the factors that influences whether businesses want to come to that community and whether they want to relocate here. And it also affects quality of life for everybody who lives here. So this is a big priority for us, and we're doing a lot of things. We're bringing on board, if all goes well, I hope even by the end of the year, two advanced level crime analysts. These are people who have, for example, master's degree level education in crime analysis to help us really look, not just count numbers, mm-hmm. but really look at where exactly is crime occurring, how do we better staff and structure our response to address that? Where do we put our prevention efforts? What kind of creative things can we do to reduce crime through analysis? And I'm a big fan of that because I know it works.
So these are specialists who, these are people who go beyond the statistics.
That's right.
They give you and your staff the kind of information that can become proactive.
You got it. Exactly right. And see, the key is, and here's where we are a little behind the curve. And you know, it's funny because our department is so far ahead of the curve in so many ways. But when it comes to this sort of data and data analysis, we struggle because we just, you know, it's not good enough to be able to say, oh, well, 30 days ago, we can look and see what was happening in a neighborhood crime-wise. We need to know that. We got to be able to get that information to supervisors and officers on the street. Here's what's happening 2 days ago or a day ago, so you can really respond to a trend.
To get the right sort of data so you can understand how those patterns are occurring, is it important that people actually file police reports? I mean, I've been the victim of various property crimes and shrugged and haven't bothered because, you know, it's not going to help my specific instance. You know, you're not going to find the guy who broke into my car.
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing
that
up.
But I probably should have spent the time to file an online report and get you that data about what happened at a place.
And what you're describing is exactly why we need to make it easier. In a situation like this where you have no idea who took your bike, there's no evidence, there's probably no witnesses, there's no nothing. Let's at least get that documented so we know where perhaps we need to give greater attention in terms of proactive patrol work, you know, what sort of things we need to focus on in the neighborhood where you live or work. We got to make it as easy as possible for people to report crime, but not every reportable crime requires an officer actually coming out to the scene.
Yeah.
We're going to take our break right here, 12:16, on the Friday Focus interview with the chief of the Tucson Police Department, Christopher Magnus. Dylan Smith sticks around as well, coming up at 12:35, our Friday roundtable. Oh, it was a pretty busy news week, to say the
least. Something happened this week?
Something happened. Big news week. Joe Ferguson should be joining us very soon at 12:35 for our roundtable. Let's take the break. Tom, take it away. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Plus, General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff, has the latest on the Korea crisis. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcasts and the complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The police chief in Tucson, Arizona, Christopher Magnus, is with us. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. And Christopher has been waiting on our live line at 790-2040. He would like to address the chief. Go ahead, Christopher.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Chief, my question for you is, during this interview, you're beating around the topic that you need more headcount, and you'd like increased wages for the police officers. Can you explicitly say that on the air, that you want more headcount and you want more increases, financial increases for your officers? I'm sure the city council is listening, but will you explicitly ask on behalf of your...
Sure. I'm sorry if I certainly don't intend to give anybody the impression I'm beating around the bush on any of it. I have made no secret about my view that we definitely need more police officers and compensation needs to be improved. I think actually the city manager is in full agreement with that. The question is, how do we do it? And, you know, how long does it take? People have been very, very patient. In fact, all city employees have been very patient about pay issues. But police in particular have struggled because there's no question that there is a significant pay difference between what police officers are making, for example, in the Phoenix Valley and what they make here in Tucson. Now, to some degree, there's a little bit of apples and oranges there. I mean, they are different cost of living, different communities. But I absolutely think that it is in our interest as a city to better compensate our police officers, because if we even have 15 or 20% out of the group that attrits, out of that, say, six a month, that they're who are leaving to go to other agencies, we are losing a massive investment that we put, you know, $100,000 worth of training into virtually each of these officers. In some cases, as they become more senior, even more than that. And that's an investment walking right out the door if those are folks going to another agency, whether it's right here in the Tucson metro or whether it's in the Phoenix Valley. So, yeah, I've been very clear, and I think the manager has as well about this.
What is the headcount this month?
So
how many cops do we
total,
have?
Total cops.
So we have right now, we divide it into two categories. We have sworn that are what we consider deployable.
Yeah.
And that's actually people that are out working in whatever capacity it is, which is approximately 815, which I think is way too low. And then we have another roughly 50 who are somewhere in the training pipeline. In other words, they've been hired, but they have not completed their full training. So you add those numbers together, what is it, roughly 865 or so. It's always a little bit fluid, even on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, I think, you know, there's no question that there are cities our size that are much closer to as many as 1,100 police officers.
And that was the number that was a goal on paper for quite a few years until you... what was that? About 18 months ago, you said, hey, we're going to actually put down on paper the number that we actually have working rather than pretend we have 1,000
police
officers.
Yeah, no, we're not going to pretend. It is what it is, and I don't...
But you think around a couple hundred more would be much better?
I think a couple hundred more would be much better, but I also understand that this is not an economically wealthy community. It's very hard. We were tremendously pleased to get the support for Prop 101 that at least helps us update some of our capital needs, our equipment, our dated facilities, things like computers, the things that cops need to do their jobs, police cars that were, 10, 15 years old. But there's no question. I don't think anybody's in denial that cops need to be paid more and but I also don't think, I've seen communities where pay is incredibly high for police officers. They still have vacancies. They still have cops that walk out the door. So I don't think pay is necessarily the entire solution, but I certainly think that, especially in a department where police officers have not gotten a pay increase in the last decade, that's a real issue.
Well, right now, Tucson doesn't even have the capacity to hire that many more officers, even if people would take the job at the rate of pay that you're offering.
We just
don't have that money in the budget.
Well, the struggle is, but it also is this. We have, right now, we are authorized to hire more positions than what we can fill right now.
Yeah.
And so we're doing our best to recruit. I still think this is a great job, a great place to work, terrific opportunities for people. But I absolutely appreciate the frustration of the men and women who work in the department who are really making some big sacrifices and are pretty dedicated people, and they're not getting the compensation that I think they deserve.
All right, let's go back to the live line, 790-2040, and I only have a few minutes left, so Melinda, as quickly as possible, please.
All right. I am a court watcher and an advocate for children and elders. And there is a crime that is being committed in this town of what we call guardianship abuse. And people are being seized by guardians, isolated from their families and friends and employees, and then suddenly dying. We have reached out to the sheriff's department, to the FBI, and to the police, and they say to us, there's nothing that we can do. A woman, a very prominent woman by the name of Tish Giff,
died. All right. I'm gonna have to cut you off because we are running out of time, but I do want to see if the chief can say something to you.
Well, I'm not familiar with a particular pattern of crime involving guardianship, but we do have a unit that deals with issues involving elder abuse and neglect of folks who are vulnerable, whether they be children or others. We're certainly willing to look into any crime where we have a potentially prosecutable offense that involves victims of some sort of neglectful guardianship or criminal guardianship. So you're certainly welcome to contact our department for that. But we're working very hard around crimes that involve a vulnerable population. And I think we have put a lot of work into helping to continue to improve our investigative services in this area. And we have some really super talented and dedicated detectives who are working very hard in these issues.
It's a complex issue, and I know Bill's looking at the clock right now, but I want to ask you real quick about TPD's current policies as far as dealing with immigration authorities go and calling Border Patrol when you run into somebody who you think might not be in the country with permission.
Well, our protocols have pretty much stayed the same, and we've been in compliance with SB 1070 for a very long time, and we have, I think, Despite some of the challenges that go with our role in terms of immigration issues, I think we've done a pretty good job balancing the concerns of the larger community, getting people still willing to come forward and report crimes, even if they are immigrants or even if they're undocumented. I think people understand that we're doing the best we can navigating through some difficult political waters, but our intention is to continue to work with Border Patrol on a range of issues that involve, for example, human trafficking, violent crime, drugs, all of those kind of things. We have a very strong partnership around. We're not going to become the immigration police because, as you've just been hearing, we have a wide range of other things we can just barely keep up with now in terms of the call load and the crime challenges. But we're going to do our part, and I think we're a good partner with all the other law enforcement in the area.
We mentioned property crime. We're not particularly doing very well in that area. Are there some areas that we're doing better?
Yeah, I think one of the areas that actually we're leading the way even nationally is around dealing with folks who have mental health, emotional health issues. About 1 in 8 of our calls involve somebody in mental health crisis, and we are actually leading the way nationally in terms of the work of our mental health services team. It's a group of about a dozen detectives that go out proactively to engage with folks that are at high risk for harming others or themselves. Through their work, and because we have so many of our cops that have been trained in crisis response, we've really radically dropped the number of use of force cases involving this population. And our model has been so strong, I mean, that we've had officers from departments around the country come here to Tucson to see what we're doing and be trained. We just hosted a contingent from Fresno, California. We've had folks from LA, New York, across the country. So, I mean, this is an area that is typically really, really challenging for police officers and police departments. And I think we're working effectively with our community partners to really do a good job.
All right. Dylan, did you have anything more?
One quick one.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thus far this year, traffic fatalities are pretty much on par with where they were last year and in the preceding years. I think we're at just a few more people have died this year, 40-some thus far this year. But it seems we have a pretty noticeable spike in pedestrian deaths, people
yes.
being hit by cars, whether they're in crosswalks or jaywalking. And is there anything that can be done about this other than people just drivers, especially slowing down and people who are walking, paying attention?
Well, I think, I really do think we're seeing a pattern with a lot of pedestrians, that people who are looking at their smartphones and not focusing on what they're doing when they're stepping out into the street.
Not
people
using
who
crosswalks.
Are, exactly. Jaywalking, people who are intoxicated. This is a significant component here. And so absolutely we need to reduce speeds, and we're doing some strategies to bring speed down. But we also have to keep pushing the narrative that people got to be more responsible when they're pedestrians.
Pay attention.
Absolutely. Paying attention.
Yeah, don't play
critical.
In the street on
right.
your phone.
Right. Yeah, right. There's that. Yeah.
Chief Magnus, thank you very much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Christopher Magnus, the chief of police in Tucson, Arizona. Dylan Smith sticks around. Joe Ferguson is in the waiting room. He will be coming in. We're going to talk about, obviously, the U of A situation and other big news right after this.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Back. It is the Friday roundtable portion of the Buckmaster Hour, and perhaps you're listening on Saturday morning because the program is re-airing now from 7 to 8, the Friday edition. Joe Ferguson joining us now. Joe is a primarily political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to see you again. And Dylan, thanks for sticking around.
You bet.
After our conversation with the chief. Well, I think we've been waiting. It's kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop. What is going to happen with Sean Miller in light of this FBI investigation? And there are several scenarios, and I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen. And everybody's been speculating about when there will be some kind of announcement, Dylan, from the university, and how will that, what form will that take? I'm kind of thinking at this point, more along the lines of an email, a couple of paragraph type thing, rather than a big news conference.
You know, the U of A, the entire university system with the regions involved and everything, they're trying to play this as low key as they can possibly keep it. And I think it was, you know, a good move for them, a little bit of CYA, to hire a law firm to conduct an internal investigation. And also, you know, a good PR and a good excuse to, you know, you can say, well, I can't talk. The lawyers are digging into it. We don't want to prejudice anything, blah, blah, blah.
But I think something has to be said here. I've been thinking there'll be something said before the end of business today. I could be wrong, concerning Sean Miller's future. And there are really several scenarios, as have been laid out in your newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star, Joe. And, of course, one of them would be a resignation. There would be the university taking some disciplinary action or standing by their coach. So, I mean, there's a bunch of ways this could go. I guess none of the above, and continued radio silence is another option through the weekend.
It's so early in all of this. I think that radio silence might be the most possible conclusion, but we'll see. You know, we're watching the same news sources you are. So,
well, I do want to throw out a kudo for what it's worth to your team and your employer and everybody. This story, when it broke Tuesday, was one of those all hands on deck. And I think you guys have done a really good job with it. I mean, you've really gone into it, and congratulations.
Thank you. I've got some really great coworkers. So,
all right, let's delve into an area that, Joe, I think you're a little more familiar with, certainly political stuff. Ann Kirkpatrick accusing the political action committee that has been formed, that is now going to be based here in Tucson.
Well, one of 30 offices nationwide that they're opening throughout the country.
What is the accusation concerning campaign violations?
Well, they believe that the group has spent more than $10,000 in the recent week to set up an office, to begin canvassing door-to-door, hiring staff, things of that nature. So the requirement for the FEC is that within 48 hours of that expenditure, you're supposed to make a report known. And so Kirkpatrick's team believes that that has happened and has filed a complaint with the FEC.
And so where does this go from here?
The FEC will look into it, but, I mean, that could drag on for quite some time. I doubt it. It's its top priority. So we'll see where it goes and if the FEC weighs in on it. The last time I saw an FEC complaint, you know, it took quite a while before it was resolved.
Is it unusual for them to open a PAC office here, the Republicans?
You know, I've been doing this for about 4 years here locally, and I've rarely seen a national super PAC open office so early in the campaign.
And what would that tell you, that they believe that she's got her hand, that McSally, Congresswoman McSally, has her hands full?
Well, CLF has done in the past is it brought money into the AZ2 race. I just think that they are predicting it's going to be a tight race with a lot of money, and they're going to put in a ground game, which means maybe McSally doesn't have to do the knocking on doors part of the campaign.
And, you know, an early investment can pay off later if they think there's going to be a problem. Putting some money in now is more affordable than trying to catch up later on.
Sure. We see people buy ads on top of ads at the end of the campaign where they're just spending money on top of money. And so, you know, getting that ground game down early is often a very smart decision.
We have been waiting to see who the Democrats would put forward in the race against, well, it actually will be the race, Dylan and Joe, against the winner of the Jeff Flake, the incumbent, Senator Flake, and Dr. Kelly Ward, that primary, and the Democrats have made their announcement.
Yeah, we've got, another Democrat announced, Kirsten Sinema, the congresswoman from Tempe, is getting into the race, which means here in Tucson, the doctor is out.
Dr. Randy Fries.
Randy Fries has iced his plans to get into the Senate race and will run for re-election in the legislature, which has, you know, repercussions on down the line as far as what people were planning. We're going to see an open congressional seat then up in Tempe, and probably a whole lot of jockeying on both sides of the aisle there. And down here, you've got folks like Matt Kopech, the former lawmaker, who has decided he's not going to get into that primary in LD9.
This state Representative, House Representative Randy Freese. He had had a, exploratory campaign for a couple of months.
Yeah, he was looking pretty hard at running for Senate, but then with somebody who's got more name recognition, established federal level fundraising ability, jumping in with Sinema, that makes it a whole lot more difficult.
Joe, some of your thoughts about Sinema. What makes her, what are some of her strong points?
She's got a long legacy of being in Arizona politics. She's well known. She has roamed the halls of Phoenix as well as up in D.C. And so she can really bring, you know, serious cash into a fight, whether it's against Kelly Ward or against Jeff Flake. And I think that that's, you know, one of the biggest issues is running a statewide campaign for a Democrat is name recognition and ability to really put your face out there on ads throughout the state.
Well, also, this it's going to be interesting to see how the Ward-Flake race stacks up and some of the polling. And again, I know pretty much anticipate, Dylan, what you're going to say to my question about the polling showing Kelly.
It's too early to even give any. Exactly. You knew I was going to say that. Right?
I knew you
it's
were.
It's too early to give a whole lot of credence to these polls.
Dr. Kelly Ward, the former Arizona State Senator from Lake Havasu City, is very excited about these polls that show that she's got a huge lead.
And you know, that kind of lead, you know, might be indicative of a real-world poll with a slight lead. But this far out, you're really only getting definite responses from people who are hardcore supporters. And you know, trying to run a headline based on one of these polls is a bit much. Certainly, I don't think Flake will have an easy time of it, but he is a shown himself to be a pretty capable campaigner in the past. So, you know, we'll have to see just how good of an organization, how good of a campaign Kelly Ward can put together in that primary. She, you know, didn't do great when she was trying to unseat McCain last time around. And when you haven't done well in previous campaigns, it doesn't do, you know, much for you attracting the heavy hitters.
For your track record, yeah. Does it? No. And Lori Roberts, who writes for The Republic, as you know, Joe, had an article today in her column, I think it was today, maybe yesterday, about how Democrats are really, really happy that Kelly Ward is doing so well in this polling. And, you know, you kind of wonder, could the Democrats even, like, throw money toward the Ward campaign to kind of help her along in her efforts?
It seems to me that, you know, Kelly Ward is great for Democratic press releases so far. So we'll see how that goes. But certainly I think that there is a segment of the local populace that's rooting for Kelly to do well in these kind of things because it makes for a different type of candidate to defeat for Democrats statewide.
So whether Ward wins or loses, she will, you know, be attacking Flake from the right. And in throughout the primary, force him to take positions that he might prefer to gain, you know, a little bit more vague about and try and be more centrist. So he'll, you know, have to keep tacking to the right to get through the primary. And I don't think Democrats will give Ward any money, but they will keep talking about her, certainly.
Right. Putting, as you say, Joe, in the news releases, we'll hear a lot about Kelly Ward. The Regents up in, I think they were meeting at NAU.
Yeah.
And up in Flag, they signed off pretty much on that $137 million Honors College complex. This could really change the character of that neighborhood, couldn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely transformative.
Yeah. Can you briefly give our listeners what area of the university that is?
We're talking about just north of Speedway along Park. It's going to be a 3.5-block complex where you could have a 6-story dorm housing up to 1,056 students, its own food court, its own rec center, offices nearby, parking. I mean, it really could bring a small mini dorm and a small mini campus really to that area where, generally speaking, we have, you know, apartment complexes and single family residents.
And there was some concession made on the height of the building.
It looks that
went
way.
Went from 6 down to 4.
Well, it went from 6 all the way around to 4 facing the neighborhood, but 6 facing the other side, which would be another university building.
All right. Let me do a plug for we had a little debate I don't. Well, it's not really a debate. We had a conversation yesterday about strong.
A healthy conversation.
Yeah, I thought it went well, and some good information on both sides. What's interesting to me about it is this is Luke Kneipp, who's been very active with Democratic politics, and of course Penelope Jacks, their friends, and the whole thing about how Democrats have not lined up in favor of this, an issue.
Strong Star Tucson.
Strong Star Tucson, that is an issue that typically would be something Democrats would really love.
Yeah, there are, you know, a number of Democrats who you would think would be absolutely supportive of an education measure, giving more money to help young kids learn to read, who are either opposed to this or quite noticeably not talking about it at all because they, behind the scenes, aren't very supportive of it. And, you know, you've got nobody who's going to be on the city council past the election is supportive of this, which is pretty noteworthy.
Yeah, it is.
Very much so, but I don't see a lot of activity on the council level right now in terms of endorsements at all right now. So they've been pretty quiet. You could hear a stone drop when we want to talk about the pay raises for the council.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I do want to plug that folks can hear that if they are confused about Strong Start Tucson, they can go to buckmastershow.com. We've got the podcast of yesterday's conversation on the pro and con, and we're going to try to re-air that sometime, certainly in October before the upcoming election. Joe, what do you have coming up in the paper this weekend that you want to tell us about?
Well, we've got a great story about Ward 3, giving an overview of Paul Durham, the Democratic candidate for Ward 6 to replace Karen Ulick, and his opponent, Gary Watson, a firefighter who's running as an independent after leaving the Republican Party.
And we will have those two in studio, and they will have their conversation with us. That's actually slated for not next week, but the following week. So we'll look for that. Dylan, anything you want to quickly plug at TucsonSentinel.com?
Yeah, we've got a story coming out this afternoon from our friends at the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, which is about how the University of Arizona sort of covers up where their money's coming from by filtering it through the various nonprofit groups, the foundation especially. Mm. And it's you know, a little bit of a black box sometimes.
Whoa. All right. That's Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and Joe Ferguson from the Arizona Daily Star. Hope you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody else out there, too.
Thanks a lot. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. That is the Weekend Watch music, signaling the official start to the weekend here on the Buckmaster Show. It's always good to hear that music, Tom, because that makes me smile. It means we are at the weekend. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're thinking about a getaway, and who doesn't? You know, everybody likes to kind of get away for the weekend. On occasion, how about a three-hour road trip? That's not that bad. A drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You will not regret the experience. 15 degrees cooler. The autumn leaves are turning. The elevation's about 6,000 feet. Oh my goodness, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Just hanging out in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and the many things to do, or as they say, recreate in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our normal Weekend Watch host is Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist. Matt's enjoying a little, speaking of getting away for the weekend, a little R&R, and ably filling in today from Visit Tucson, Mr. Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm trying to aim for 90% of Matt's enthusiasm.
Oh, isn't that
so
great?
I'm going to give it my very best.
All right, let's hear your top picks for the weekend.
Well, gosh darn it, it is benefit season. There seems like there's some sort of something going on every single night. Tomorrow night, the El Rio Vecinos is having their bow tie block party. There are limited tickets remaining. It is a heck of an evening. You don't have to dress up. Just get yourself a bow tie. Normal casual clothes. There's music, there's food, there's drinking, all of those things in the beautiful downtown Scottish Rite Cathedral. Look it up online. I'm sure they'd be happy to sell you a ticket.
So,
go ahead.
A bow tie would work with a work shirt or pretty much anything.
Just keep it casual. Probably want to wear a shirt of some sort.
What else do you have? What else is going on?
Speaking of which, this one's just for the ladies. It's just a call out for the ladies of the Buckmaster Show. Mm-hmm. The YWCA 4th Annual Pop Event is being held on Sunday, 5 to 8 p.m. at their Francis McClellan Community Center on Bonita. It is food from women restaurateurs, chefs, and bartenders, places like Boca, Renee's Organic Oven, Gourmet Girls Gluten-Free, Sine Thai Bistro, all of this stuff. There's going to be a fashion show, live and silent auctions. It's a heck of an evening. There's VIP tickets for that even still available.
Wow.
Just call the WCA. They'll hook you up. They'll be happy to help sell you one.
We got time for at least one more.
Pride in the Park is tomorrow, noon to 9 p.m. at Reed Park. This is Arizona's oldest LGBT organization, Tucson Pride. It's their 40th anniversary. Performances by DJ Cash, Bunny Fufu, Tori Steele, Fly by Midnight, David Hernandez, you may remember from American Idol, a dance tent, kid-friendly zone. It is a pride, they say, like none before. There are VIP tickets for that available as well. Just go to TucsonPride.org.
And there's always a lot of good eating in town. After all, we are the United Nations gastronomy capital of America.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a good time to be eating. They're having a block party at Charo Steak on Sunday, where they're going to have a bunch of pigs roasting. There's that,
what?
Too. Yeah, the block party on Broadway. It's the Gastronomic Union of Tucson. 4 local pigs, 20 local chefs, 4 local breweries. That's a heck of a time as well.
All right. I almost said Matt.
That's okay.
Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson, ably filling in very well for Mr. Matt Russell. Thank you, Matt. I mean, thank you, Dan. Dan or Matt, whatever. Have a great weekend. Sorry about that. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Trying to get on the same page here, right? On behalf of everybody here at KVOI, we thank you very much for your support. And really, that starts at the top, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, Doug and Mary Martin, owners, operators of this locally owned station, do such a great job. And really all the other people that usually I don't have enough time to mention on Friday, but I'm going to throw out a few names. Alicia, thank you very much. Elsa, Rhonda, the front office staff. Jerry Cross, one of the finest production people I have ever worked with in 50 years. He does such a great job. Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer here on Friday. Ray Allen, operations manager, who sits in the chair that Tom is in right now, Monday through Thursday. It's a good team, and we all work together to try to keep Tucson better informed. And of course, I want to remember Rosemary Brandt, who has been with me since we began the project in 2011. Thanks, Rose, for all your support. On behalf of all of us, have a great afternoon and evening and a good weekend.